Okay, we are. I usually try to look at the scripture I'm going to read from ahead of time. And I'm reading Hosea because I didn't keep on my computer the specific reference. So first I went to all of Hosea in King James. And then I went to the American version. And then I thought about it, and I realized that every morning I tend to go skimming through the news on my cell phone. Do any of you do that? You know? And I thought, oh my God, this isn't any different than then. Whew! A few little changes in words. I'm not sure I still understand why somebody was told to marry a prostitute or what whoredom is all about, but I think it's in most of the morning news. Thank God they didn't have guns in the time of Hosea. But there is a powerful message in that book, and you'll have to hunt for it a little bit to pull it out to yourself. And what I'm reading to you this morning is from Hosea 11, 1 through 9. They will be on the screen, or if you want to look in the Bible, you can. And fortunately, Kelly has put it in the words of the New Revised Standard Version. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went away from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to the idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down and I fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they've refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me, but my compassion grows warm and tender. I will not exercise my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Here ends our reading for today.
In Charles Dickens' play, A Christmas Carol, there is a key scene upon which the plot turns. That scene takes place in Ebenezer Scrooge's living room. He's eating a hot meal before bed, and all the doors are locked. He is as safe as he can possibly be. And that is when the ghost of Jacob Marley enters the room. Now, Jacob Marley comes wearing a long chain that's heavy, and he drags it, and in the good renditions of the film or the play, it makes an awful sound. And he makes it clear that he made this chain in his life by the way he lived. But Jacob has not returned to frighten Ebenezer. Rather, he's returned to teach him what is important in life. And thus begins the thick of Dickens' plot, which I think is likely familiar to most of you. The prophets are messengers from God. And like the literary character Jacob Marley in A Christmas Carol, the prophets come to teach God's people what is important when it comes to living according to God's way. The prophet we meet this morning is Hosea. And as Faith alluded to, Hosea is a complicated prophet. He's complicated in part because his private life was a mess. And so today we're not going to talk about his private life, but we are more going to focus on his words rather than his life. Nonetheless, we need to know his context to understand his words. Hosea was a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel. And like the prophet Elijah, Hosea was concerned that the worship of Baal would lead to the destruction of the nation of Israel. And whereas Elijah made the contest between Baal and God a social event, Hosea described this rivalry between Baal and God as a relational event. Hosea used the example of human relationships to teach about our relationship with God. Hosea didn't hold much back. He did not shy away from comparing the people of Israel to an unfaithful spouse, or worse, as Faith alluded to. At other times, like in our text this morning, Hosea depicts God as a parent of the people. Now, the book that bears Hosea's name is one that is filled with some of the most amazing poetry in the Bible. And it is this prophetic poetry which is our focus today. This poetry of Hosea goes back and forth. It alternates between the words of the prophet and the words of God. And in the text we heard this morning, we have the prophet's account of God's part of their conversation. And it's an interesting conversation, is it not? In this text, it seems that God is struggling with God's people, kind of in the way that parents can sometimes struggle with teenagers. My Hebrew Bible professor in seminary, in his book on the prophets, he wrote, quote, in this text, quote, Yahweh waxes nostalgic with a metaphorical recollection of Israel as a child in the wilderness, end quote. And we see this in the poetry. In verses 1 and 3, when God recounts calling the people out of Egypt, teaching them to survive in the wilderness, even taking them up into God's arms for affection. These are God's words of love for humankind. It shows God's love for people who struggle because, let's face it, being human is hard. And God's love is reiterated again in verse 4, where God explicitly says that God teaches with kindness and with love. God loves us as we love our infants. God even reaches down and tends to our basic needs. This is a love poem of a parent to a child, if I've ever heard one. Unfortunately for God, it's an unrequited love poem. The people, for their part, have gone away. They are worshiping Baal. They're no longer as concerned about what God thinks as they had been when they were in the wilderness. And that leaves God with a problem. You see, God had given the people a law to follow. God had given the people a land to live in. And even against God's better judgment, God gave the people a king when the people demanded a king. So now God has to respond to a people who have not only broken God's law, but they've broken their very covenant they made with God. What is God to do with these people? That's the question posed by the text this morning. And in these words of the prophet, we see God struggling with how to respond. We see God in this text vacillating between showing mercy and making judgment. See, I told you Hosea is complicated. Not many people can depict God as troubled and get away with it. But that's what Hosea is doing. And God's struggle becomes even more clear in verse 5. And to understand that, we need to recall the times of the prophet. You see, the people of the northern kingdom were stuck between Assyria in the east and Egypt in the west. Israel was going to be taken over. The question was, by whom? We also have to remember that God had already brought the people out of Egypt once. So any return to align with Egypt would really be a betrayal of God. Just like worshiping Baal was a betrayal of the covenant with God. So in verse 5, when God is saying the people will return to Egypt, we see that God knows the people of God are about to betray God. They're about to betray the covenant again. And in this poem, the people betraying God are the very children of God. And that's when God's nostalgia becomes pathos. And in verse 8, we hear God's pain for God's children. God is saying, "How can I give you up?" And yet, God knows God has to respond. And according to Hosea, this is the real problem. It's the real struggle because God is having a hard time disciplining the children. Hosea portrays God at this point as almost lamenting that God cannot let the people get away with worshiping Baal. God laments the notion of the people of Israel being destroyed like Adama and Zeboiim. They are cities that were destroyed at the time Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. So God does not want to see the people destroyed, but then what is a parent to do? God decides the people must be punished for turning from God. But God's not going to react in anger. You see, Hosea makes it clear that we are God's children. There's no doubt about that in this text. It is God who teaches us to walk, who tends to our basic needs. God even delights in the people's exploration of the world. And God wants to continue in relationship with us. But God can't always protect us from our own actions. Hosea is reminding the people that if we do not follow God's rules, we may find ourselves, like Hosea did, in an economically unjust society. We may even find ourselves, like the people of Hosea's time did, being oppressed by their own rulers. Hosea is saying that these things are not God's will when they happen. They are ours. God loves us. But God cannot save us from ourselves. Just as Elijah told the people to choose between God and Baal, Hosea is telling the people that there are consequences to not choosing God. God's love is always there, but it's no magic wand. In covenant, God's love is sometimes tough love. Tough love that will bring the people eventually to redemption and eventually still back into covenant. It's a hard poem and it's complicated. But just as Charles Dickens sends three spirits to Ebenezer Scrooge to teach him about his role in relationship with others, and just as Ebenezer is given another chance to choose what is right, God sends the prophets to God's children to call them back to covenant. God gives us boundaries, and God allows us to break those boundaries. God knows that when we break the rules, we will create problems for ourselves and for society. Problems that may even prevent us from moving forward. But God has given God's children choices. God's children can create problems in the world and end up like Jacob Marley, with weights they cannot bear. Or God's children can turn like Ebenezer Scrooge, wake up to a new morning in which to create justice and restore relationships in the world. Hosea is telling us, it's all up to the children of God. And may God bless each and everyone.